grass is always shittier on the other side.
You're listening to the only podcast in the universe where clothing is optional,
but pot is not.
Broadcasting from FEMA Region 7, it's Bowl After Bowl with your hosts, Lorian and Spencer.
So when are we smoking some weed?
In the bowl. In the bowl.
I should probably try it.
It's good shit.
I smoked some weed today.
We have blunts here.
I've never done a blunt. I'd do one.
Well, hell, I'd do one too.
Oh, me three.
Especially on a Token Tuesday. When you're with all your friends in the bowl hanging out. Without a doubt. That's where you want to be on a Tuesday. It is February 1st, 2020, and you're listening to episode 133 of the Stoniest Podcast in the Universe. That's Bowl After Bowl. I'm Sir Spencer Wolf of Kansas City.
I'm Dame DeLorean. And yes, it is the Stoniest Podcast in the Universe, because the year is 2022.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like... Your opinion, man.
That's right.
It's all right. It's 2022, so.
2022 is 2022.
Yeah, exactly.
When you think about it. Well, welcome back. It's been a great week, a magnificent week. Great tunes, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Bring us in. Really like that. Digging the vibe.
Yeah, high energy.
Digging the vibe, digging the vibe. Got a lot to discuss. A lot's been going on this week. So we got a action-packed show for you.
Heck yeah, magic number episode coming in.
That's right, 133. What's better than that, right? I do so love it. I guess we could start off by some recappage stuff, because a lot happened. I went to the eye doctor.
Wow, how was that?
It was fantastic. It's a good time. I don't know what it is. But every time they do the eye tests on me and they like shine the lights in my eyes and they flip those lenses and it's all blurry and I'm looking at stuff, my eyes just water. They just shoot water out of them. Mm. It's like mega eye strain. I'm all squinty. They're like handing me tissues. But I realized while I was in there, I have been going to this eye doctor now for like almost 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah, can you believe that? It's like 23 years.
Your first and only... optometrist?
Well, I tried to go to that guy in the city.
Oh, that's right.
You remember?
Yeah.
And he was all shocked. He was like, oh, this guy's got you on way too strong of a prescription for your glasses. And I was like, huh? Like, all right. He's like, you're not old enough to have this prescription. It's like, all right, they'll try your way out, you know? Tried his way out, and it was like, man, can't really see as good, you know, with this weaker prescription. So he's like, well, your eyes will adjust and just try it out. It's not like I walk out the door looking across the street. I can't even like fully read the sign on the door across the street, right? With these new contacts in. So this is ludicrous. Got in the car, drove home. Like, not all the signs are super sharp. I mean, I can read them. It's better than nothing at all. But it's like, what's the point?
Right.
Of wearing contacts or glasses that only get you halfway to corrected vision. So I like went back in the next week and like I was like, dude, this isn't working out, you know, like I need something that will help me see. And so he like bumped it up, but only a little bit, not to my like OG.
Ugh.
And so I was like, yeah, this is not working out. I'm sorry, man. I'll see you never. And then I went back to the old optometrist. I got to drive now like 40 minutes to get there or whatever. But
it's worth it because when you leave, you can see.
Yeah. Yeah, when I leave, I can see. And the guy's been my optometrist since I was in third grade, so I was 8. But it only occurred to me today. I mean, I've known his name the whole time, but his name is Dr. Bowles.
Heck yeah.
It's like perfect for the show. I never even like made the connection Bowles and Bowles with, you know, bowl at... Oh my God.
It really is bowl after bowl here.
Bowl after bowl.
In the bowl.
It's bowl after bowl. It's like just Bowles life, dude.
Bowles life.
Barry Bowles.
That's a great name.
That's the guy. It's the guy to go to for your optometry. If you're in Kearney, hit up Barry Bowles, dude. Just do it. It's a good thing to do. They took this, they stuck my face in this machine I've never seen before. I never interacted with this particular one. They got this machine. It's like an imaging machine. And it's got, it's like a white plastic doohickey, right? With a rubber, almost looks like an enlarged version of a baby bottle that someone just like cut the nipple off of. So there's like a hole there, you know?
Huh. Okay.
And that hole you're supposed to stick your eye in. So, okay. Ooh. So you like hold this thing right below it, kind of like you're holding the bottom of a steering wheel, like you're holding the bottom side of a steering wheel. You hold on to that and you put your face up into this rubber and you got to press on it. And it gives you this, blue light. And they're like, if you see the blue light, you got to push your face forward, right? But then if you see the red light, you've pushed too far and you got to back up. I'm like, oh, Jesus. All right. Okay. So I got like blue light pushing, immediately goes red. I'm like, oh, okay. A backup, just like a fraction, and it goes blue again. So I'm just trying to hit this sweet spot of like the depth I'm supposed to be in this machine. Never seen it before in my life. All of a sudden it finally goes green and I try to hold still as I can. And then wham, this like the brightest green light I've ever seen in my life just goes whoom from side to side, like a Xerox machine on steroids, which just like zooms right by your eye. And I just like couldn't see nothing out of the eye for like 2 seconds because it was just so intensely bright. And then they're like, okay, other eye.
What?
Yeah. But then I don't know what they're checking for, but they're just like taking a picture of the back of your eyeball.
And
It's beautiful looking. Like you look at the thing and there's like all these blood vessels coming out of the back hole where your like optic nerve comes in. And they're just looking around for, I don't know, like certain specific like sickness, I think. Because then there was some kind of a, there was an ad up on the wall, but it's like informational ad. You know, one of those informational ads. It was like an ad for some injection, but it showed like this eye disease and like the early stages and how it progresses and stuff. And like the poster had a bunch of those same photographs or those same images that are taken with this machine I had to stick my face in. But yeah, made like a 3D thing of your eye, and then like he was spinning it around, you know, and then like the back of it, like the inside back of the sphere, that was like all color, full color imaged, and it was pretty cool.
Wow. And it looked good? Everything was...
He said my eyes look very healthy.
Fantastic.
There's nothing to worry about according to that photo.
Despite your old man prescription lenses.
That's right. Yeah, so now I get to... to contacts ordered, man. I just, it's like I wish my prescription has not changed in like 12-15 years, something like that. A very long time. And still they make you, if you want to re-up on your contacts, they make you do the eye exam again.
Oh, that's too bad.
Which is like, it's like $130 to do the eye exam, and
that's how they make their
70
money
for the contacts, you know. Yeah. Which is like, okay, sure, like it'd be nice to know. It's a scam. Yes, John C. Dvorak would tell you. Sometime every once in a while, they like will let me just get the contacts, like if it hasn't been ultra long. But Servo's right. I just need to order them online.
Yeah.
Stop being an old fart.
I like to go to the place to get the thing.
See my Dr. Bowles of Bowles.
It's hard to walk away from a guy named Dr. Bowles. You have to understand that, right, Bowlers? You have to understand that.
Makes nothing but sense to me.
So yeah, things are good. Things are good in the ocular department.
Oh, that's good.
I'm happy to report.
I'm glad.
And get some contacts in time for this fabulous meetup so that I can go out there and not look like Mr. Flanders teaches shop class.
Oakley-dokley.
Ookley-dookley. Yeah, speaking of the Valentine's Day meetup, I don't know, I think I have something appropriate to play, but I have to make sure that it will play.
2, 3, 4, what time is it? It's Valley time! What time is it? It's Valley time! What are we going to get? Several boys!
It's Valentine's. Yeah.
It's Valentine's.
What are we going to get? Several boys!
Oh. Sir Caesar sent me that. And I had not watched it for so long, for ages. I just cracked up all over again. That's one of the better Teen Girl squads.
The great one.
Oh, man.
And so, also, Sir Seatsitter was just in the bowl with us Friday.
That's right.
Friday night.
He was hanging out Friday night, feeling all right with our latest Bulls with Buds. And he sent me that. He sent me a couple clips of him talking. And Dame Jennifer, Jame Denifer, known to some, sent me some clips of her talking. And I just got some clips from Boobery and Lavish.
Of them talking?
Of them talking.
Wow.
Can you believe it? I'm going to clip some stuff of Adam and Tina and maybe some stuff on... I'm not sure what I'm going to get for them. I don't want to have to like make them sit down and record, you know, they're already so busy. I might send them a note, but I'm just going to clip some stuff of them saying, we're going to go to the meetup. But I'm making a promo for this meetup. I'm going to play it on the Sunday No Agenda show. I'm going to send it in for Sunday's show.
Should this be Sunday?
Absolutely lit. Yeah, this coming Sunday.
Ooh.
This coming Sunday, which will be 8 days before, you know, the meetup. So
perfect.
Seems like the time, and the Sunday show is like, I think, has slightly higher numbers than the... than Thursday, and it gives people time, because some people don't listen live, and then some people don't even listen right away. Like, some people perpetually stay like two shows behind. I've found this doing meetups myself and meetup promos for the KC group, so I think that's the sweet spot for this particular meetup, is the 6th of Sunday. If anybody happens to be going to that thing and I haven't sent you anything, or you were interested in recording something, shoot me an email, spencer@bullafterbull.com. I'm just getting people saying, you know, who they are and that they're going to be there and like why they're going or something like that. Just something short, like 5 to 10 seconds. Lavish and Boobery sent us something nice, but I have half a mind to just go back and clip out that bit they did last night talking about how they were going to roller skate and they were gay for each other and stuff.
Oh, I'm behind the schemes. Yeah, that was gold.
Yeah, last night I'm behind the schemes.
They nailed it, really.
I think I might do that. If more from Boobs a little bit later. By the way, but
all right,
yeah, it's been everybody's lovely right now. Everybody's lovely. You mentioned Chris sitting down with us for Bulls with Buds last Friday. That was a hilarious show. A little raunchy, a little over, like
raunchy.
Even for us, it was raunchy, which is a grand, great time. I think I had a hell of a time, absolute blast. We had voicemails like out the wazoo, and for that and all the other Bulls with Buds, you can always go to bullswithbuds.com and check that out. And we got another Bud coming up.
That's right. This Sunday at 8 p.m., hop in the bowl, because Ned is going to be here with us for another Bulls with Buds.
That's right. We're going to have Ned. Detroit Mafia legend Ned will be joining us.
That's right.
We broke his podcast guest, Cherry, here on the very... Bulls with Bud show. Same show. So we will be talking to him again. I'm looking forward to that.
Me too.
Always good. Maybe he'll bring us some Faygo or something. That'll be good. That'll be good stuff. What else did we do this week? Oh, yeah. Speaking of shows that happened last night, Hog Story is now boost enabled.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Streaming sets.
So now they can say,
boost me, bitch.
And mean it.
That's right.
It was cool. He popped into the bowl. Fletcher. I say he. Fletcher of hogstory.net fame popped into the bowl on Sunday night, and he was just saying like, hey, I've been using Breeze. He's basically saying like, I got a handle on Breeze, you know, I've been boosting, I've been sending, you know, cause I set him up on Breeze and sent him some sats to play with a while back. And he was like, man, can I just put this like receive address into the feed? Like I can receive sats on Breeze. I know how to receive sats on Breeze. Can I just put it in the feed? And unfortunately, right now, that's not an option. I don't know about, you know, what options may come over time. But the way it works right now is all of the boosts and boostograms are sent via a protocol called KeySend. It's a KeySend payment, which allows you to send sats without an invoice being generated by the recipient. You can just automatically send them. And the only way to do that is to have a node with a public key associated with it. So you have to target the node's public key, which just a plain wallet, plain white Lightning wallet does not actually do that. So I said, you know, one way to do it is to use Satoshi's.stream. If you use Satoshi's.stream, that is a custodial node, meaning that somebody else runs that node for you, and you can use their custodial node in your feed, and then there's a bit of some sign up process. You have to cross some I's and dot some T's, and use a Telegram bot to withdraw it, but you could tell their Telegram bot to send it to your Breeze wallet. So he got all hooked up, and now they're boosting. They get that boost action going, that sweet, sweet boost action. So that's some great stuff. I'm proud of you, Hoggaroos, getting boosted. And on Sunday, you really saved the day, just about.
No.
Saved my day, I should say.
Made your day.
For Misinformed Nation. We did it right after No Agenda. It was me and Gwiff the Cock and Boobery and Chris again. We've just been busy together. Just busy little boys. The live 8 of the No Agenda stream, Adam said. That was pretty funny.
That was hilarious.
You sent in several clips, and the reason I'm so glad you did is, A, we asked about, we had asked about listeners sending in clips for us, and, you know, I was under the impression that we were just going to go with those clips, and so I didn't bring any clips myself, right? And I think I was the only one that, like, didn't bring his own clips. But thank God you brought, like, a bunch of clips in.
Oh, I covered your ass.
Which is, the part I'm worst at for Misinformed is, like, sitting down and just clipping clips. I need to redo all of my ISO board here and redo some clips. Although you also gave me some new ISOs today.
Yeah, I sent you some clips.
We started off with
the beginning
of the
show. I sent Boob some clips. I sent you some clips.
You've just been the little clip fairy.
Yeah.
Clipping everybody up in here.
Clip, clip.
These are the clips I got.
In the bold.
From you.
In the bold.
I couldn't believe on Podcasting 2.0 they said in the bold twice.
I know. The Podfather himself.
You gotta love it.
Putting his whole face in the bowl.
In the bowl, Dave.
Because he ate those gummies.
Yeah, the gummies will get you right in the bowl, dude. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, another thing that I was actually grateful for you sending those clips in is a lot of them were like close to home / self-promotion style clips, you know? Which I always feel weird about bringing, but like you brought an Ablecraft clip and you brought...
I brought a bowl after bowl clip.
A couple bowl after bowl
clips. A rare encounter clip.
A rare encounter. It was all just like super close to home stuff and some of my favorite moments too from all of this stuff.
Oh, and No Agenda, of course.
No Agenda clip. Now, a No Agenda clip, you know, we're supposed to be the rest of the podcast in the universe on Misinformed Nation.
Oh.
It's technically the byline. Or the, what do you call it? The slogan? The catchphrase? The ka-cha-ka-cha-ka, whatever.
Yeah, a little subtitle.
But
thing.
It was so worth it. And I don't know why I just always shy away from that kind of stuff, but it's like, hello, it's right after No Agenda. This is the perfect vehicle to, like, you know, get all this stuff we've been doing out there to people. Like, oh yeah, by the way, we get this album out. And I'm glad that the boys were even like, I think it was Gwiff who was like, now explain to everybody, like, what the hell you're talking about. Because
right.
It's, like, important. And I don't know, like, I don't know why I just diminish things because I'm a part of it, you know? I'm like, oh, you know, it's me, so it's not that great. Like, I don't know. I don't know. But I'm glad you saved the day on it because it is stuff that we do need to talk about and that people like to hear about, so.
Yeah.
It was cool. It ended up being really cool. I was glad you sent all those in.
You know,
it was a very fun show.
I saw the call for clips that Boobs put out, and then I just threw what I had at him.
That's right. So we're trying to make a kind of a web... clip grabber for people to like submit clips in the future on, and I just need to iron out some deployment pains in my butt that are happening right now, like get these deployment stuff going on, and then I should be able to kind of zoom in, get in the zone, and get that out.
Yeah,
be the next thing. Yeah,
and I can practice some coding with you.
That's right. I'm gonna teach you.
Helped you start it. That was fun.
Did some code stuff. Yeah, we built a database for it, so that's a start, right?
It is a start. It's a step in the right direction, after all.
That's right. That's right. That's what we like to say.
It's a step in the right direction, after all.
After all, it's a step in the right direction. It's a step in the right direction, after all.
Step in the correct, right direction. That's what we love. And I guess... we also love thanking people, right?
Oh, we love thanking people. Like we thanking, love all the bowlers.
Thanking all you bowlers for your tremendous support. We couldn't do it without you. I mean, there would just be no show without the bowlers. Not only listening and, you know, trolling along in the chat, bowlafterbowl.com. If you click on live, you can get in the bowl Of course, we're talking about our super secret IRC chat where there's 33 users right now. Woo! Those are the insiders, man. That's the inside scoop. That's like all the cool kids officially in the bowl. So check it out. And also, you can send time, talent, and treasure to support the show. Value for value proposition means that we put the value right into the show every week. Don't put no paywalls up, no ad reads, no nothing like that. We just keep it rolling. And in return, if you get value out of it, all we ask is you send some value back. Now, that can be some boosts with a boostagram, which we see coming through. That could be with the PayPal. You see a little button at the bottom of bowlafterbowl.com. Could be a lot of things. Even clips, even ISOs, even voicemails. In fact, we do a new first time I ever topic every week. What's the topic this week?
This week, the topic is the first time I ever performed.
That's right. First time you ever performed, we want to hear about it.
So it's one of the easiest ways to give value back to the bowl.
That's right.
All you've got to do is... call 816-607-3663 and the
player voice mail on Bowl After Bowl. Bowl After Bowl. That's right, 816-607-3663. You can also text if you're one of those voice shy type people and you don't want your voice to be recorded. You could always send us a text. And we will keep you as anonymous as you want to be. Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing at all. There's some chatter going on in the bowl, by the way, about Ring of Fire, which is a later segment that we'll be talking about. So don't you worry, sweet peas. We will get there. We will get there. All in due time. But of course, we have to thank people for sending us money. And we love money.
Yeah. I like money, though.
I mean, who doesn't like money? So we want to thank... the triple stonations that came in.
Oh, yeah.
We had one from Fletcher. He's got a monthly stonation. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Fletcher.
And in his honor, we're always sparking one up.
Spark one up.
We also had a monthly stonation come in from Cotton Gin.
Yeah, Cotton Gin. We love you. Thank you.
And last but certainly not least, Lavish hit us with a stonation.
Yeah, and, Lavish.
And a note that says, smoking bowls and freeing souls.
You know it.
Very nice.
Love you, Lavish.
Packing bowls and freeing souls.
Packing, smoking, you know, the whole nine yards. We do it all here in the bowl. We're versatile. So thank you, guys. We also have some big bad boosters coming through, boosting on the helipad, including Cotton Gin again.
Woohoo!
Who, slammed us with a little boost right before he had to run off. He says, can't listen live tonight, but hope y'all have a great show. So cheers to you, Cotton Gin. He's working tonight, pulling one of them night shifts.
Boo, work.
Godspeed, stronk. 4200 sass from C-Dubs, who just says, ITB, bitches.
Hey, in the bowl, C-Dubs, thank
in
you.
In the bowl. We have actually,
in the bowl.
I really need to work on my levels on those new clips, of course. But in the bowl to you as well, C-Dubs. And... 1337 elite boost from Oma.
Woo! Thanks, Oma.
Who says a woost?
Boost.
Yeah, so that is our value up front, and you can send in value. Use a modern podcast app. Send us some sats. newpodcastapps.com. And they've got a nice little filter on the site now, so you can go and just filter by value. You want something that has that value tag in it. The app is not going to work unless it's a value-enabled app. We were talking about Abel and the Wolf earlier. If you go to abelandthewolf.com, there's a tab for all of the podcasting apps. And that's actually sorted out by platform. So if you're like, oh, I just need something for my Windows. I want to do it for my desktop on Windows. You can go, you can open the Windows tab. All the apps in Windows will be able to boost sats. So that's another way to get there. There's so many ways to get there. So many ways to solve the issue of how do I boost. So if you're ever curious, concerned, I am always happy to set podcasters up to receive sats. I'm happy to set listeners up to send sats. I've never even played with Bitcoin at all. It's super easy to get into, and there's a lot of ways to do it. more exciting ways coming out soon. They've been teasing on Podcast 2.0 very lately, so I'm so excited to see how this thing is growing, and we'll talk a little bit about it more as we go along. Another way to help us out is just pass the bowl. You know, somebody who might enjoy some of the content, just pass the bowl.
Yeah, simple as.
There's a script that some people are using, including I got some from C-Dubs and some from Cotton Gin. In fact, I should scroll backwards a little bit further because we've been getting tests in. So we've got 420 cold acid, 333 cold acid. Thank you, cold acid.
Thanks, cold acid.
We've got also Cotton Gin tested us, I think, yesterday. But that's from Fountain, 2508. If you're using that Boost CLI script, there's been an update. So be sure to get that update. Yeah, fantastic stuff. Everything is just being built and being worked on. And it's like early days, but it's finally hitting this kind of critical mass momentum where things actually start to be worked on. And it's nice to be on the side of like being on the GitHub and seeing all of that go down. Because I can see, you know, if you're just listening to shows and you're not like in the discussions on the GitHub or into the discussions on podcastindex.social, it's easy to be like, well, nothing is really happening lately. But I can tell you, like, it's been very busy these last couple of months, and it's just kind of growing. So I think it'll continue to gain momentum as far as the people that are working on different projects and the people who are helping on different projects. And even if you don't know how to code or you don't, you know, understand certain stuff, like, try it out. Try a new podcast app out. Use something that you're not familiar with. Break stuff and then tell us what broke. Like, all of this stuff is important in order to make it what it needs to be for this, you know, mass thing to happen. For everybody to be able to use it, has to start with you using it. That's where it has to start. So if you're not using one of these yet, try it out, man. What do you got to lose? What are you waiting for? The future is happening all around you. And then I just always want to remind everybody about the first rule.
First rule of being a smoker is it's bad manners to keep bumming all the damn time.
That's the first rule. So that's what Value for Value is all about, baby. Thank you all bowlers for your support. We love you.
Love you, mean it.
Love you, mean it. I suppose we can talk about some shit stain, right?
I think so. I think it's time.
People are kind of eager for some.
On-chain, off-chain, cocaine, shit stain.
On-chain, off-chain, cocaine, shit stain. On-chain, off-chain, go. Streaming sass, boost the grounds, makes you really want to build a node.
Yes, we have some shit stain in action. The most exciting news to me personally is that Helipad version 0.1.8 dropped today.
Woohoo!
And what could be better than that? A brand new Helipad version. So I did want to test the sound here. And this is, you can install it. I think on Umbral, the Umbral app, they have to wait for the update to be approved.
Mm-hmm.
And then the new Umbral version to kind of come out for that to be like correctly patched. So Umbral users have to wait for that. But if you run a, there we go. If you run a Raspi Blitz, you can install that immediamente, and we'll have a link in the show notes to the shell script that we have. There's also, on Umbral, you can do custom stuff. Like, you don't have to wait for Umbral App Store to load stuff on your Umbral. You can just pull a new version from GitHub, and you can put stuff on yourself. I don't want to say it's, like, not available on Umbral, because it's not entirely true. But yes, I was so pleased because I saw this new version come out, and this is like my busy week where everything's smashed up. I mean, I had to leave right after class to go to the optometrist today, and then we got the show now. Tomorrow, it's C's birthday. Cena's birthday.
Mm-hmm. Our middle child will be 3.
Turning 3 on 2/22.
The boost, baby.
I should say 2/22/22. Yeah, this is C.
Boost.
And so she'll be 3 tomorrow, so that's kind of like after class we'll be doing that. And I was like, I don't know when I'm going to sit down and be able to update the script and figure all it out. And it's an important update, too, because not only does it have this cool CSV download option where you can download, I think it's the last 100, you can export as a CSV, but you can also play with the little URL it generates. If you notice, it passes a count. So I think that you can tweak that. I haven't I haven't personally played around with it yet, because like I said, time is not really what I have an abundance of at the moment. And then he's got this cute little podcastindex.org button on it. It's starting to look a little slicker. I like it. And then, of course, the version number is updated now in the bottom right. But there's also some stuff going on in the back end, including cores and including some other bug fixes that Dave put in there. Sometimes boosts weren't seen from certain apps. You can hear more about it if you listen to Podcasting 2.0, which is what you gotta have. But yeah, C-Dubs rightly points out the icons are so cute. I always love icons like that, those little icons. They really help make an app look modern. And yeah, coming up, they're going to be putting a totally new front end on it, being able to have an inbox style stuff where the boostergrams come in as an inbox that says read or unread. So Ooh. You can mark them read for the show. We really want to add filtration so you can filter by show. We want to add custom sounds, all kinds of stuff. So like the future is so exciting for the tools that we're going to play with. But you can get that, on, like I said, my GitHub has a install script if you're on the Raspy Blitz. Now we're doing what we can to get that into a future version of Raspy Blitz so that it will just be a choice in the menu that you can just go to services and install, just like you can install Ride the Lightning and Thunderhub. Helipad should be right in there with all of that. So someday, but for now, you got to do it yourself, which is not very hard at all. If you set up a Raspy Blitz and got it running, then surely you can set up Helipad on that Raspy Blitz. It's much easier to set up Helipad on a Raspy Blitz than it is to set up Raspy Blitz itself. And the easy step-by-step walkthrough is on the GitHub page itself. We made it foolproof and painless, so that's cool. Ring of Fire. I know everyone's jumping up and down in the chat about when's the Ring of Fire. Ring of Fire number 5. I have found my 6. It's a 2 million capacity ring. And the 6 are myself, Zero Fee Routing, Harv Hat, Cold Acid, and the Podcast Index, and Servo.
Woo!
So thanks to Adam for agreeing to put the Podcast Index's node in there. Servo has funded his node. He's got ready to go on chain. I think that'll be his first 2 channels. And I will continue. I probably don't have the bandwidth for immediately having another Ring of Fire, but I want to still organize them, so even if I'm not participating in one or Lorian is not participating in one, I will continue to organize these podcasting Ring of Fires to get people more channels. And I want to talk a little bit about channels and balancing because it's just kind of been a discussion ongoing in the Bowl Chat. And by the way, feel free to come to the Bowl Chat for any kind of questions like that during the week that you might have. You know, if your channels get borked out or different things like that. There is a rebalancing tool in Thunderhub. I've never, for whatever reason, I don't know why, if I'm just dumb, it's likely the cause, but I've never got that thing to work. I've tried it a lot of different times, and it has always failed, and I used to try it a lot more often when I first started node management. Now I barely ever try it, but I did try it this week, and again, it failed.
Womp womp.
What I like is Balance of Satoshis, which is an installable service. If you run Raspy Blitz, you can just install it via the menu. If you're on Umbral, you have to take some extra steps, but it can be done. There are walkthroughs that you can find. You'll have to do it yourself. You have to do a little muscle. It's not just available right off of the bat in the App Store on Umbral. But that thing can let you basically pick an outbound and inbound channel and send payments to yourself to rebalance some of your channels. And it's kind of my own fault. I set this new Ring of Fire up, and then I forgot to push fees high on this channel. And so it just all zooped out to the outbound side. So an unbalanced channel, it's not ideal if you're routing. But if you're a merchant node, which most podcasters would want to set up something that's primarily a merchant node if you're not interested in routing, I like to do a little bit of both. So obviously I'm receiving sats, but then I also want to be able to forward payments on the Lightning Network. So that's why I aim for big channels that are balanced. But if they're unbalanced, I like them to be unbalanced with remote. If the balance is remote, meaning not on your node, then that gives you a bunch of room to receive sats. People can push it in. There's room to push it in. If you have a channel and it's all local and no remote, then obviously it's all out of sats to be able to receive. And at that point, you have to balance it. There's a couple of different ways to do that, but it's not the end of the world for balanced channels. It just means that there's less directions which those sats can flow. So you have to be kind of strategic about it. Sometimes, like what I found right now in my situation, I've got three channels. They're all off balanced, and there's not a route that can get around and back to me.
Mm.
Sometimes you'll find this if there's a route between, you know, you and the node you want to balance with, and then whoever they're connected to. But the route might have two balances that are both hyperlocal to you. And so there's not really a route to push those sats through, even though there's channels that exist to get you from point A to point B to point C and then back to A. It's blocked because of the unbalance, you know. And you have to consider other people's channels may also be unbalanced too. So in these cases, sometimes it's easier to, say, pull out your Breeze app or your Fountain app or some other podcasting app that has a wallet, and you can generate an invoice in those. Like, say, Breeze, you say, all right, well, I've got to balance these 100,000 sats anyway on this channel, or 200, or whatever you want to balance. You can go in to your app and say, I want to fill this app's wallet up, choose it, generate an invoice, then go into ThunderHub, and you can fulfill that invoice and select which channel you want it to go out of. So pick one of those hyperlocal channels and then fill your Breeze app, fill your Breeze wallet that way. You can keep kind of self-balancing too. I think Blue and Moon are both really good at finding routes that way. If you just want to send sats from your own node to an external wallet and then from that external wallet back to your node, sometimes you can channel pick that way and do some manual balancing. But ideally, you have big fat channels that you can find a route doing a circular rebalance. That's the most efficient way. It's quick because it's just one payment and it goes out and back into you. So you don't really lose sats except for the very small fee that it is charged for routing. I think the last time I did balance the Satoshis, I balanced 500,000 sats for 400.
Not bad.
Not bad. Less than 0.1%. So it's pretty good.
Less than a buck.
Pretty good. But another thing about fees is another way that you can encourage your channels to balance. A fee is only charged when sats leave your node. So a fee is going to be applied on outgoing payments. What that means is if you have a particular channel that seems to skew outbound, meaning that all your sats are gone from the local side and they all seem to be on the other node, you can raise those fees to discourage routing in that direction. Conversely, if you have a channel that just gets jammed up on the local, then you can do the opposite. You can lower those fees to encourage sats to flow away from your node on that channel. Because the Lightning Network is going to try to find the shortest, cheapest route for these payments. So hyperlocal balance, you want to lower the fees to encourage those sats to flow out, and then watch it. You know, as it gets more balanced, you can raise these fees back up, and vice versa for the hyper distant fees. Getting popping, and it's very distracting to me. Are you getting that popping?
Yes, I was trying to signal to you.
What is that popping all about?
Oh, let's figure it out.
At any rate, that's kind of my balancing strategies, and I know it's been a hot topic lately. One more thing about fees, though, because, you know, especially if we have new channels opening up and we're getting sats to play around with these fees, the problem becomes that we're changing the fee structure a lot. And the way that the gossiping works, it takes a while for the network to really propagate your fee change and recognize it and change the routing accordingly. So it's recommended that you don't change your fee structure on channels more than once in a 24-hour period, because it just takes time for all of that to propagate and for your fee to be recognized. And, you know, you might not notice a difference in routing right away. So I'll have some links also in the show notes for some good routing tips. That's all my shit stain, though. That's a big slimy shit stain for you. What do you think?
Well, I think I'm glad we weren't one of the 33 million people who got that giant winter storm this past weekend.
Oh, no doubt.
My folks up in massive two shits got over 2 feet of snow. I said, ha, have fun with that. I'll be out here without snow.
It's snowing today.
It's snowing now, yeah. We're supposed to get like 1 to 3 inches, though, which I can live with. It's no big deal. You can just drive right over that.
It's snow big deal.
Snow big deal. Welp, there was some research done by Kaspersky that found there were 33 vulnerabilities in the data transfer protocols for wearable devices. Who'da thunk?
Oh, geez.
All that health data and stuff, you know, might not just be kept between you and whoever you think you're sharing it with.
That actually seems low.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, it was up 10 issues, but they're talking about how 91% of healthcare providers around the globe have implemented telehealth capabilities, which create a whole bunch of new security risks when it comes to patient data. And they mentioned MQTT protocol as being the most common because it's easy and convenient, but there's no authentication and it rarely includes encryption. So you're susceptible to man-in-the-middle attacks.
Uh-oh.
Yep, never know who's peeking in on you.
That's not what you want.
And of course, some of these wearables also track your location too, so it's just like, oh, let's check their heart rate, their breathing, where they at, where they're going. Eh. But at the same time, you know Big Brother is always watching.
It's true.
So.
Constant tracking.
And all his friends. Maybe all your friends, but probably not friends. Well, there was a mother of three. She's 33. She kidnapped and tortured her boyfriend because she wanted him to pay for lip injection Botox.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he had just come into money through an inheritance. And I guess he moved in with her last June. This all happened in August, but she just got her sentencing, which was 6 years and 4 months.
Pretty, I like money.
Pretty sure this happened across the pond in England. Jolly old England. But yeah, she and a male accomplice spent 12 hours pouring boiling water on his head and taking a plastic bag off and on his head.
Jeez.
Stubbing out cigarettes on his arm.
Pew!
Pew!
Pewing on him.
Pewing all over the place.
It's too much.
Yeah. She also tried wrongly accusing him of molesting her 2-year-old, thinking she might be able to get some money that way. But no, didn't work. So now she's going to jail.
Pew! They say, insane. My membrane.
Nice.
Coming in from Breeze. So Breeze is always anonymous. That's a hot tip for you bowlers. If you want to be anonymous, use Breeze. If you use Breeze and don't want to be anonymous, you can put your name in the boost. But there's a 90-character limit on Breeze.
Oof.
I run my mouth way too much for 90-character limits, but I do use Breeze often anyway. Just to force myself to stay brief. Plus, I use like a lot of the apps. A lot of them.
Yeah, I like different things from a bunch of different apps.
You're trying
so
out,
I'm all over the place.
Gotta love it.
Fletcher is claiming those Breeze boosts in the bowl.
I was wondering if they might be Fletchies. Boosty, boosty.
A cruise ship was in the wrong place at the wrong time and ended up delaying the SpaceX blastoff this weekend by 33 seconds before launch. Apparently, the ship had entered the hazard area, causing the fourth delay of Falcon 9.
I hate it when that happens.
Which is just trying to get up in space to launch the Cosmos SkyMed second generation FM2 Italian satellite. Previously, the other three delays were caused by the weather. But good news for the Falcon. Falcon 9 did successfully launch January 31st. So they made it. They made it.
And that's good.
Just a little bonus magic number, since this is a magic number episode.
Bonus for 133.
Yeah, I noticed, unfortunately, that the Cincinnati Bengals ended their 33-year Super Bowl drought.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Defeated the Chiefs.
Well, you know, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
KC Chefs.
Can't be having every Super Bowl with the chefs in it, you know what I mean? Because then people start to get sick of you. Like 90s Cowboys, or like Aughts Patriots, like, you know, can't just go to every one.
Oh, really? Tell that to Tom Brady.
I will tell that to Tom Brady. You get Tom Brady on the motherfucking phone right now. I'll tell him.
I'll tell him over this mic.
I'll tell him. Hey, Tom. Can't go to every one, bud.
Nah. Oh, I don't even watch football, so.
Yeah.
I feel nothing.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like, shrugs. Everyone's like all devastated about it. I'm like, oh, you know, there's always next season. I haven't watched a single snap this season because I figured it could be done, you know? Figured it could be done. I thought I was going to do that last season, and then it just got sucked in.
The local hive mind, you know, kind of takes a hold.
Yeah. But this year I was like, you know what? No. I don't even care if they're in the damn Super Bowl. I'm not going to watch a single snap this year. Just not going to do it.
Nope.
And it worked. Worked.
There you go.
There's only one game left in the season. That's the Super Bowl. And we're going to be driving to Tennessee during it.
Yay!
So, ba-da-ba-da-bump.
Perfect.
Yeah. Think I'm going to make it.
Me too. Well, the magic number was abound with the Koof stories this week. Sadly, it was a little uptick because it's been slowing down. But this week, they noted 33 deaths in West Bengal, Riverside County, California, Quebec, Gujarat, India, and Delaware, all over the world. There were 33 cases noted in Lawrence County, North Carolina, St. Lucia, and at the Framingham Public School District in Massachusetts.
Nice.
The biggest story, though, touting the magic number in the scamdemic realm, was that Ohio crossed 33,000 deaths since 15 days to flatten the curve.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's a lot of deaths attributed to goofing.
330,000?
33,000.
Oh, 33,000. Okay, okay.
That's still...
That's a lot, though.
A lot of dead people.
Yep.
Houston County, Missouri said 33% of their population is vaccinated.
Neat.
Yeah. And Jamaica said they have a 33% positivity rate because people... keep taking the test.
Yeah, that's a wild thing, man. That's a wild thing.
In Tennessee, they say, the Shelby County health officials, that children still make up 33% of active COOF cases. And Wales is just way behind because they're saying this new moronic variant that's not very new anymore is 33% more infectious and more likely to beat the jabs. But that's all I've got. Makes me sick just thinking about it. Take me behind the bowl. Behind the curtain. Behind the bowl.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Going behind the curtain bowl. Behind the bowl curtain. We're going. We're diving in. Diving in deep.
I saw an interesting thing on the Federal Register this week. I don't exactly know what to make of it.
Uh-oh.
The National Institute of Health is making sulfur and selenium-containing pyrazole molecules capable of modulating cannabinoid receptors available for licensing and commercial development.
I am too tarded to understand, like, 33% of that sentence.
Me too. It's more like I understand 33% of the sentence, though, which is the cannabinoid receptors. And I saw that, and then I saw licensing and commercial development next to it, and I said, uh-oh, what are they doing licensing things that are going to affect the cannabinoid receptors. I mean, everything does, or a lot of things do, but... Yeah, it said, the inventions listed below are owned by an agency of the U.S. government, the NIH, I'm guessing, and are available for licensing in the U.S. to achieve expeditious commercialization of results of federally funded research and development. Like, rout-row, here comes some more big pharma products doing what weed does.
Keep the eggheads away from my weed, man.
No, I want my weed!
They just want to replace the weed, you know, so they can keep it Schedule 1. Like, oh, weed has no merit. Take our pills!
Yeah, they want to isolate it and
now what,
break it down to something patentable and just totally ruin it, man.
Exactly. They claim they are trying to treat... And get this is a widespread right here. Just like how weed, you know, weed does what you need. You smoke the weed, it does what you need. These folks here at the NIH want to potentially treat metabolic, psychiatric, neurological, pain, gastrointestinal, and inflammation-related disorders, as well as cancers and substance abuse. It's like, yeah, weed already does that, though.
Bro, I would trust gas station sushi before I trust the NIH now after this last 2 years. Give me a fucking break, dude.
Seriously.
Some of the most evil people on the planet. No thank you.
The therapeutic targets they're looking at are that they mentioned, and it says it's not limited to just these, but specifically listed here is cannabinoid 1 receptor, which regulates the release of neurotransmitters such as serotonin, dopamine, and glutamate. The cannabinoid 2 receptor, which regulates functions like immune suppression. GPR55, which is a protein-coupled cannabinoid receptor that mediates the psychoactive effects of delta-9 THC and increases intracellular calcium and inhibits M-type potassium current. What does it all mean?
Sounds busy, man.
It sounds busy, yeah. I don't want you messing with it is what that makes me think. And mediates the effects of the delta-9 THC. Like, that's very important.
Yeah.
I love my delta-9.
This is the wild thing that I've just never understood about drug policy the whole time. It's like, weed is Schedule 1, which is dumb. You look at the therapeutic window and the risk of overdose. The therapeutic window is the widest available of just about any drug with a psychoactive effect at all. And the risk of overdose is non-existent. And yet, there's all of this hubbubaloo made all the time about that it makes you high, that it gives you these like euphoric effects or mind-altering effects or, you know, whatever they want to describe it as. They're describing getting high, makes you high. But this is never a concern for so many other drugs, you know?
Right.
Things like SSRIs, like Xanax and stuff that people take to get high. Things like painkillers people take to get high.
Yeah, Valium. Have no worries.
You can stand on your head for a while and get high.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand why weed in particular is like, well, there's just like, we just need to make it so you don't get high. Like, why though? Why? Personally, that's like one of the big appeals, you know, is like the part where you get high once you smoke weed and you're like a little high, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if they took that away from weed, I wouldn't have much left to smoke weed for.
Well, if they can convince you not to smoke weed, then you'll keep coming back to them and buy their products, you know? But if you start smoking weed, I think you might be less likely to need their products. And so you just got to follow the money. That's why. They don't want you to just use natural plants from God's good earth.
Let's just say I'm not buying it.
None of this is good.
They mentioned two other protein-coupled cannabinoid receptors that I did the digging into to see what they do and how they're going to fuck with our bodies with whatever they're making. GPR18 regulates metabolism, has an anti-inflammatory profile, and anti-tumor effects. Very important. We don't want this thing getting messed with. And finally, GPR119. This is expressed predominantly in the pancreas and the gastrointestinal tract, and it's associated with type 2 diabetes when it runs into issues.
Oh, boy.
So
they're trying to make little custom pieces and do all that stuff with it.
Yes. Yep. Home Depot's being sued by a lady in Connecticut who is accusing the company of improperly putting her on medical leave because she told them she uses medical weed to treat her PTSD. Now, I looked into this case, and it comes off to me that she may have been fired for an assortment of reasons.
Uh-oh.
And weed was just sort of the, you know,
The final straw or like the big scapegoat?
Let's hear the facts of the case and all then right. You can decide.
Okay.
Okay. She was taken to HR where she was told to fill out a reasonable accommodation form because she wanted to request occasionally having extra breaks to recover from panic attacks that she suffers from.
All right.
When she filled out that form, that's when she shared, "I use medical weed to treat this." A few days later, she was called into the manager's office and told that the medical management team suggested he or she put the lady on permanent medical leave of absence because of her medical weed use.
That seems sketchy to me.
Right. And since they cited, "We're putting you on medical leave because you use medical pot," I could see how that could be the linchpin in the case, you know? Anyway, she pushed back, and then ended up leaving work early the next day because she was so anxious over whether or not she would be placed on this medical leave. Because of that anxiety, she ended up being out of work for a week. And you see how now it's like, okay, you can't just like not go to work for a week, you know? But anyway, she ended up getting a call and they said, hey, you're on indefinite leave until you can get off the pot and come back. So she ended up citing Connecticut's Palliative Use of Marijuana Act, saying the decision was illegal. And her manager pushed back, saying Home Depot follows federal laws and pot is federally illegal. Now there's a case.
Yeah, he's got you there.
She is seeking back pay, damages for emotional distress, job reinstatement, which personally I would not want to go back there, but whatever, in a court order requiring the company to remove all adverse information from her personnel file, among other things.
Well, you know, sometimes when you get wronged at work, you've got to force them to take you back so that you can quit on your own terms. And hopefully they have to pay you also while they get forced to take you back.
Yeah, that's a win.
It's called a win, yeah. And it's called, you know, making a statement and making a point.
Yeah, well, you know, Godspeed.
Yeah, you can't just say you're on medical leave because you...
Well, I was kind of...
I have medical weed. It's like, are you saying that to people on SSRIs? Are you saying that to people on anything else?
Right,
you're saying that to people who take, Claritin every day for their allergies?
You use Tylenol occasionally, and we've just gotten the recommendation that you should be put on an indefinite leave of absence because you just use it too much.
Are you even saying that to the dudes in the back stocking shelves who aren't on medical weed, but they're just smoking hella J's? Probably not, because they're probably not a pain in your ass like this individual was a pain in their ass, but... You know, you have to deal with people by the letter of the book, not just make this thing because you want to get rid of some pain in your ass.
Right. Well, we'll see. You know, this is just the suit being announced, and you know how these things work. We could hear about it in a month. We could hear about it in a year. Maybe even 4 years. But you know who we were hearing about this week in the green world is Amazon. Not the rainforest. Amazon's vice president of public policy told WAPO, Amazon...
VPPP, I like that. VPPP.
VPPP. Well, they told WAPO, that Amazon's not interested in selling pot. A laughable statement, if ever there was.
I kind of doubt that, but that sounds like something that a PR spin person would say.
Their name popped up, and I think interviews were called for because Amazon endorsed a Republican bill to end federal prohibition. And, you know, the Republicans, the GOP is like the lepers if you're part of the woke society. You know, you can't associate with a Republican. And, you know, they've also endorsed Schumer's bill that has not been filed yet to end federal prohibition. They're just endorsing all the bills that are saying, hey, let's get rid of weed being federally illegal. So... This guy, the VPPP, said that Amazon's focus here is in pushing legislation to remove hiring impediments which disproportionately impact individuals of color.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so, you know.
A likely story.
It's all about race. We're not trying to make money. We're just trying to make the world a better place.
Yeah, that plays really good, but...
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense from a dollars and cents perspective.
No. The company previously announced that it was going to stop testing most employees for weed, too. So I'm just like, you don't need legislation to do that. Just make it a company policy, you know? We're not going to test. I didn't understand that, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever. These guys.
Activists in Arizona are suing over social equity licenses because it turns out they might be going to big cannabis businesses.
What?
Surprise, surprise. We've talked about it in the bowl before. People who were potential social equity applicants started getting mailers from established weed businesses saying, hey, we'll pay your $4,000 application fee. And you know what? You don't have to do any work at all. We could even fill it out for you. You know, you just like, we get the business. Your name is on it, and if you don't want the responsibility of being a business owner, you just hand it over to us. We'll pay you good money, man. And then 1,500 applications were filed for the 26 social equity licenses available.
What a nightmare.
The folks over at Acre 41 started going through all the applications and found that 500 of them were tied directly to big, already established dispensaries.
Imagine that.
Who'd have thunk?
Yeah.
Anyways, there's a bill in Arizona legislature that would stop licenses from being sold before 10 years is up unless you can prove that the recipient is a qualified social equity individual and not a corporation. I thought that was kind of interesting. But, you know, the rebuttal to this from the Department of Health Services is we have to throw out this case. Seeing this case through and putting the social equity licenses on pause is going to hurt the social equity applicants, not help them. But the judge is expected to make a ruling next week. So we'll stay on that.
Oh, yeah. We can't wait for
expected,
that
expected, you know. Yeah. Don't hold your breath. You might pass out. Well, there's another legalization initiative that got filed in Arkansas from Responsible Growth Arkansas. This will be the third pushing for recreational. And this one is spearheaded by Eddie Armstrong, a former House of Representatives minority leader who left office in 2019. It would allow adults 21 and older to purchase and possess up to an ounce. And it would put the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board, also known as ABC, in charge of regulating the market, giving out the licenses, all that good stuff. Now, 8 medical dispensaries that already exist will get recreational licenses, plus 12 more licenses under this initiative.
You're just expanding it a bit.
Just a bit, yeah. 12 licenses.
Just a little whoop.
And, of course, their biggest donors are all existing cultivators from the medical industry.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, kind of locks up all of the potential recreational production in the already established medical world. But whatever, you know. It says here that they want to impose a 10% sales tax, which would turn around and go to law enforcement funding, because they need more tax money. The University of Arkansas, because they need more money. Drug court programs and the state general fund to cover administrative costs. My favorite write-off.
Seems great.
There's no expungement pathway, no social equity licenses, and the one that really gets to me, no home grow.
Yeah, that's a non-starter. That's a non-starter.
Yeah. The other two campaigns are Arkansas for Marijuana Reform, which allows home grow up to 12 plants, and Arkansas True Grass also allows up to 2 plants home grow. So we'll see. You know, unfortunately, it usually does come down to who can pay to gather the most signatures.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got the biggest donors. So already politically established. Not a good sign, but we'll see. We'll wait and see. The U.S. Supreme Court just declined to take up a self-submitted petition from a software engineer in California who decided to challenge the constitutionality of criminalizing selling drugs with medical or religious uses. He wanted to overturn his conviction for selling weed and mescaline.
Right.
And just didn't work out. You know, Supreme Court says, no, we're not going to bother with that. And he went up from the California Supreme Court, who previously denied his appeal. But this guy was interesting. He also submitted a single-page handwritten petition in 2019 to the DEA asking them to reschedule or deschedule weed. But of course it was denied.
Denied.
Yeah. Hate to say it, but there's really no use trying, you know?
I know. Like screaming into the void.
Yeah. Well, this was an interesting case update this week. In Illinois, the Attorney General has motioned to allow more rejected dispensary applicants to join in on the super case that already has 32 dispensary applicants in there that didn't get their licenses.
Oh.
But he denied the motion we talked about in the last bowl, which would have awarded the licenses to the craft growers who were the winners. They can't move forward. So people are losing their real estate, they're losing money, they're losing their employees, obviously, because they can't start to pay them. So those people have to find other jobs.
Yeah, it's a total mess. What a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do if, like, because of this pause that you're not able to meet the requirements that you once made when you applied, you know? Like, this can be economically devastating, the, you know, not getting your revenue when you plan to. This is months and months later. They're kicking the can down an unacceptable amount of time, you know?
Not months, baby. Years.
Years later.
Yeah, some of these licenses were supposed to be issued in April 2020. This is 2 years later.
It's coming up on the two-year mark. It's crazy.
The way I look at it, though, you know, they just had to get the number of plaintiffs in this case to 33. Because they've been at 32, so they just want to get that magic number.
That must be it.
We just got to get one more. Then we'll come out with the headline, 33 dispensaries on this super case. And then all the rest are just bonus. Yeah. They just need that headline.
That's right. 10 more could join, and they'll be like, 33 and 10 more.
This case isn't going to be over soon either, so all those folks who are, you know, they're just left twiddling their thumbs.
It's so... It makes you wonder how it could even be legal, but... It's your government for you. Good job, guys.
Government at work.
Can fuck absolutely anything up.
Yeah. The next court date is set for February 25th. So talk about this at the end of this month. About a month away, though. Let's see. The first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled last Wednesday that while federal funds generally can't be spent on prosecuting medical marijuana businesses, those engaged in blatantly illegitimate activity can still face charges. And this comes out of the indictment of two men from Maine in 2018 who got caught using a medical license as a front for some black market dealings.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah.
The old emerald market, huh?
The emerald market, yeah,
rears its ugly head.
That's right, that's right. Yeah. Still federally illegal. Can't just get the license and be in the green. Yeah. You know?
Well, and it's state legal when you do it that way. State illegal when you do it that way, too.
That's right. That's right. But of course, worth noting that since 2015, there's been a congressional budget rider, the Rohrabacher Amendment, which has been attached to the annual appropriations bills over and over again, which bars the Justice Department from spending money preventing states from implementing laws legalizing medical weed. And that's what they were trying to cite here and say, hey, we're protected by our state's legality. No, no, you're not.
Yeah, unfortunately, not in this case. You're not protected by shit.
Yeah, still federally illegal.
Especially if you're not following the state law that you're implemented under. And
yeah.
And then there's the licensing factor. You know, you can get your license yanked for...
You didn't follow proto, buddy. You're done.
Yeah, you're done.
This week, Mississippi lawmakers sent a medical marijuana bill to the governor's desk. It landed there last Friday, which was January 27th. But as of today, February 1st, he has yet to sign it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And just a few hours before the show, he told the Associated Press that he hasn't decided whether or not he's going to sign it.
I'll bet he hasn't decided. Yeah, he's got no idea what he's going to do, I'm sure.
This is already a very strict medical proposal, as it only legalizes medical use for people with debilitating medical conditions. But here he is. He doesn't know if he's going to sign it. So as long as he doesn't veto it, though, it should be good to go. Because if he doesn't sign it, it becomes law anyway, without a signature. So just keeping those fingers crossed that there's no veto incoming. Now, an interesting thing happened here in the Show Me State this week. The Missouri Administrative Hearing Commission granted a previously rejected applicant a license.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. NWGMO LLC. They got their license to operate a cultivation facility.
Woo!
After hearing testimony and seeing evidence that the system used for deciding who got the licenses was just a complete clusterfuck. Rushed, intentionally vague. You know, the guidance there, and there was no review of the work done for the folks who scored these applications.
Imagine my shock.
Yeah. And the good news here is that the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services is not appealing the ruling, so these folks will get their license. Originally, there were 857 appeals of folks who didn't get licenses and say, hey, why were we scored like this? And why did those guys get licenses and we didn't? But that is now down to 529 pending appeals. You'll be glad to know. And people are now pointing their fingers at Wise Health Solutions, who the DHSS outsourced the application scoring to. You always got to have a fall guy. You know?
True.
You're the government. They know. They know how to have a fall guy, how to cover their ass and all in circumstances here. So, yes, let's look at Wise. They're a joint venture of the Nevada-based Voracious Compliance Solutions and Oaksterdam University.
Huh.
Of course, an unaccredited college claiming to be the first institution in these here United States to teach a cannabis-based curriculum.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Oaksterdam.
Very well known, yeah.
Yep.
Wise was paid more than $2 million by the state to score these applications, review them, and score them. But here's why the commission said, this is bunk, you get your license to this group here. They submitted two identical applications, and wouldn't you know it, those applications received different scores.
Yeah.
Plus, the group is a well-established weed business. They've been operating in Illinois since 2014, so they've got the money, the experience to back it up. One of the employees of Wise took the stand, did some sworn testimony, and he said that they were told not to leave notes as to why they scored applications the way they did, and also supervisors didn't check their work, so what they scored it was final, with really no rhyme or reason. And he couldn't even suggest a metric that was being used to score these applications. So really, it's just like, I'm having a good day. There's a 10, perfect 10. Great job. This one's not so good. This was the guy who scored the company that ended up getting their license. He gave him a 10 on one and a 7 on another. So, but this is the magic number 3 of licenses being handed out to people who are originally rejected. Two licenses were issued in a settlement last year with Heya LLC out of Kirksville. And then there's also a group, GMT Consulting, that sued Wise last year and won an arbitration award of 28 million buckaroos. But now they're suing Wise's insurer to have the reward paid because they didn't get their money. Campaign finance reports came out in the Show Me State, too, this week. So I checked in on the two recreational legalization efforts and their money. Last year, Legal Missouri, of course, that's the new approach pack backed by the MoCan Trade, the biggest cannabis group in the Show Me State. They raised $778,000.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, there's the other group gathering signatures. Nice. They raised $1,200. And reported $73,000 debt incurred.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That
As
hurts.
Of right now, it appears that Fair Access has raised about $25,000, though. So, you know, they got the ball rolling. And Legal Missouri is at around $1.3 million.
Wee lad.
Mm-hmm. Both of them need 160,000 signatures to get on the ballot. Legal Missouri will definitely be paying signature gatherers. But I'm not signing either of these.
Yeah, they're not good.
If you
laws.
Want to home grow with the Legal Missouri
proposal,
the way that it's written,
yeah.
Yes, you have to get a license for home grow. You have to be registered with the department that's going to run recreational for growing your own freaking plants.
Yeah, it's
up to 18, but there's also language in this that concerns me. The term I saw was adult use license. I'm sorry. I need a license that's not my driver's license to show you that I'm an adult over 21 years of age who can buy pot here? Nah.
It's total overreach shit going down for sure.
Yeah. And of course, they want to cap it at 114 licenses, and the medical growers get first dibs. The medical dispensaries that are already here, they get first dibs, you know? It's all, everyone who's already here is the first in line.
Yep.
There's an auto expungement they've written in, which... Yeah, it could be a clusterfuck, you know? It might not work. You don't need a lawyer. Well, you might.
You might.
6% tax proposed, which isn't horrible, but of course, cities can add 3% to that.
Yeah.
So, if you get caught smoking in public, it's a $100 fine. womp, womp. That's that's pretty normal, but it's not my tomato model that I want, you know? I just want to be free.
Yeah,
it's I just want to free the weed. There's too many problems.
It's not even like
with
a Colorado model. It's not, yeah. There's just too much overreach.
There's a lot of overreach, a lot of ways for the state to just bend you over and ram it in you. And I'm not looking for that, you know?
Like, no doubt.
If you get caught growing at home without your license from the department saying that you can grow plants in your home, you get a $250 fine and everything you have gets seized. The forfeiture of your goods is written into this initiative. I don't like that.
Bit whack, yeah. If you ask me.
So, Shamed Dogan, you know, representative, he filed a bill that I'm totally behind. And so I'm just going to keep my fingers crossed that the ball gets rolling with that, because I'm not interested in these. Not putting my name on it. I would rather wait and pass a good law than pass this shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you. I totally agree.
Keeping crooks in business. No, thank you. And speaking of crooks, New Jersey is not going to meet their February 22nd deadline to launch recreational sales. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, yeah. We didn't see that coming.
A self-imposed deadline from the Cannabis Regulatory Commission. They chose that deadline themselves. And here they are, not like, even meeting it.
It's like setting the rake out in front of you and then stepping on it.
Right. And of course, there's no legal way to enforce this deadline. And they point at every which way, every direction as why they can't meet this deadline. A number of factors. Just leave it vague. As well as, you know, they were pretty devastated that municipalities weren't all gung-ho about having dispensaries come to town. You know, plenty of New Jersey ended up saying, no, we don't want dispensaries in our town. We don't want weed here, I guess. So, yeah, I don't know. You should under-promise and over-deliver.
No doubt.
But the government doesn't have to do anything.
Why they would add extra deadlines in for themselves that aren't in the law. That just seemed doomed from the beginning.
Right. The New Mexico Supreme Court has scheduled oral arguments for a case regarding medical cannabis sales and gross receipts taxes for February 28th. So I will be following that. Also, they're arguing whether or not medical sales should have been exempt from gross receipts taxes prior to the state's Cannabis Regulation Act, which went into effect last June and did make it so. Now, I didn't know what a gross receipts tax was. It's not sales tax. It's a tax applied to a company's gross sales without deductions for business expenses like cost of goods sold, compensation. And unlike a sales tax, it's assessed on businesses and apply to business-to-business transactions in addition to final consumer purchases, which leads to tax pyramiding.
Yeah, it's like a double-dip type of thing.
Yeah, this thing is just getting the final good is being taxed at every step of the production process.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely.
They tax the absolute shit out of it.
Yeah. So a cultivator in New Mexico asked the state's taxation and revenue department for a refund of multiple years' worth of gross receipts taxes that the company paid. And initially, a hearing officer ruled in favor of the state, but that was reversed by the New Mexico Court of Appeals. So in February 2020, the state took the issue up to the Supreme Court, and it's been pending ever since. 2 years later, here we are. In June 2021, another medical company, Ultra Health, joined the case. And yeah, you know, they're arguing that like prescription drugs, medical weed should have always been exempt from the state's gross receipts tax.
Yeah.
But the Attorney General's office is arguing that use of medical weed is recommended by a medical professional and not prescribed by them, meaning that it's not exempt from the taxes prior to the Cannabis Regulation Act, which legalized recreational and explicitly added the exemption.
How dare you?
Mm-hmm. But good news for New Mexico, recreational sales are expected to start in April of this year with just a 12% excise tax in addition to the gross receipts tax they are facing here. Oh, ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yep. The Ohio Secretary of State has confirmed that activists there have collected enough signatures to force lawmakers to consider their legalization proposal. This, of course, is the group Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol. But it's not going to regulate it like alcohol at all.
Of course,
you can't
not.
Just walk into the corner store and buy what you want. Oh, no.
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be nice. Wouldn't it be nice? There's a 2.5 ounce limit for possession. You can possess up to 15 grams of concentrate. Home grow is 6 plants per person, 12 cap per house. There's a 10% sales tax, which goes to social equity and jobs programs. The localities that allow marijuana enterprises in their area, education, substance abuse programs, and of course the administrative costs of implementing this whole system. It would establish the Division of Cannabis Control under the Department of Commerce. And, here's a fun one. Regulators would be required to enter into an agreement with the Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services to provide cannabis addiction services, which would involve education and treatment for individuals with addiction issues related to weed or other controlled substances, like opioids. I don't understand why activists would write this. You know, I don't understand why you would write these things, but whatever. The legislature in Ohio has 4 months to consider this proposal. They can adopt it, they can reject it, or they can amend it. But if they don't pass it, if they decide to reject it, the organizers of this group can put it on the ballot by gathering an additional 132,888 signatures.
Mm.
So this, of course, was the group we mentioned a few bowls ago who were 13,000 signatures short of what they needed. So hurrah for kicking ass on the streets and making up for it. You got the signatures. See it through.
See it through, man. Yeah, this is the thing that really chaps my ass about all these weed laws is there's no, I'm trying to find any laws that say how much alcohol you can possess or buy. And I can't find any limits, man. Like maybe there are, but I can't find any. So if you're going to, you know, if you're going to regulate it like alcohol, you can't put these limits on it.
Right. I can go buy Everclear anytime I want. And then it's like they want to cap THC and stuff. Ugh, so ridiculous. They just complicate the whole thing. Keep weed, a freaking weed, this taboo for this long, you know? It's just ridiculous. It's a plant. Get over yourselves.
Yeah, pretty stupid. Pretty stupid.
Oh, that's all I had for my notes this week and the following.
Well, we've got a boobs on the ground report.
Oh, heck yes. Boobs on the ground.
Boobs on the ground. Boobs comes through again. Because Boobs is doing a little project, a little lighting project. And setup was at this school, and he noticed a bunch of anti-drug war propaganda all over the walls. So he sent us some great photos of what they are poisoning the youths of today with.
Hate to see it.
You do. You just hate to see it.
But it is funny.
There's a lot of anti-vape and anti-cigarette stuff in here, too.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, here's a great one. Xanax candy, not Xannies. There's just a lot of these, like, innate, mindless, phrases that don't mean anything. This is what I hate about government schools. Like, they force these talented young artists to participate in outright propaganda.
Yeah, it makes you sick, doesn't it? It's just gross.
I mean, it would be one thing to, like, actually learn about different things and effects in maybe, like, a less biased way, but it's just straight-up propaganda stuff. This particular artist... this one kind of struck me. It's like eerie, but the art is very good. It is,
Ooh, a cigarette with a shadow man that's chained to it, and they both have fumes coming off of them.
Yeah.
Contains arsenic, lead, nicotine, formaldehyde, butane, tar.
You may be quicker, but not with liquor. And there's a big old bottle of Fireball. Chris will love that.
Oh, perfect.
There you go, City. We're putting these, posting some of these in the bowl. You said anti-drug war propaganda, but it sounds like pro-drug war propaganda. I think you're right, Servo. I think I fucked up. See, this is the problem with trying weed, is it will make you talk about anti-drug war propaganda when it's really pro-drug war propaganda.
That's right. It's anti-drug, pro-war.
Throw it out before it puts you out. Puts with an apostrophe. That kind of stuff really gets under my skin.
Ugh.
The apostrophes when they're not supposed to be in there. It's a pretty good weed leaf, though.
Yeah, that's cute.
The bottle of perks. This heroin. People who watch too many movies, man. That's kind of a gross little steamy pile of heroin on a spoon drawing. Stick to weed leaves, kid. That's what I say.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what I say. Sick this one creeped me out the most that he found. It's like this hand where the fingers are like cigarette butts. And then it's like holding a disembodied finger where a cigarette would be.
Ooh.
It's really creepy.
Ooh, that's nice. Yeah, the cigarettes are smoking the finger.
Yeah, don't let your life be destroyed by yourself, man. Stop smoking.
Yeah, of course, I enjoy smoking over a dude in a coffin next to it.
It's a girl. You can tell by the handwriting, for sure. A girl did that. A pack a day earns a hospital stay, you guys. That kind of stuff. Yeah, there was
a waste of time.
There's a few things that were weed specific, like this smiley face.
You know, instead of teaching these kids and introducing them to all the drugs, why don't you just like teach them something useful? You know, like how to file your taxes or save money or
how to grow food or, you know.
Oh, yes, sustainability. No.
How to cook yourself lunch, how to like use an oven. People don't know, like kids graduate high school not knowing shit.
Yeah. I mean, look at the school lunches too. It's just completely void of nutrition in the name of curbing obesity.
Oh, but they know not to smoke at least. Because, like, you're not going to fucking learn that if you don't go to school. Give me a break. All people tell you when smoke happens is you're not supposed to do it. We know. But, you know, you can't tell these people nothing. I'm the crazy one. I should just stop. Thank you, Boobery, for sending these lovely pictures.
Yeah, thanks, Boobs.
Love some.
Boobs on the ground report. I love them.
He gave a bonus Yoshi at the end. Oh, fuck, you're going to make me yum.
Nice.
Beautiful. Good work, Boobs. Keep them coming.
I'm going to come.
You know who else is going to come? Our bowlers coming right into the voicemail line. Want to get into some voicemails?
Yeah, sure.
We have one hot and fresh and ready for you.
In the bowl of bowlers. Well, life seems like a big fucking performance right now. In many ways, I've got... Yeah, we're the end of a conference season here. And yeah, I get to do that. I'm basically working the night shift because we're doing the European version of the conference. But,
nice.
So yeah, midnight to 5 a.m., midnight to 6 a.m. Specific time. So Oof. Yeah, just kind of horrible time. Yeah, anyway. So
those overnights.
So the first time I ever performed was actually when I was 3 years old.
Nice.
My dad played music at a pizza parlor, and he had me get up, or, you know, I don't know, I got up with him, I don't remember the exact circumstances with it, but he was singing the Eagles song Lion Eyes, and yeah, I got to sing the chorus of that with him, so, and it's where I made my first dollar, was a pizza place in Salinas, California, Cassidy's. That's the first time I performed. I mean, yeah, I realize that performed can mean lots of things.
He's on to us.
That was the first time I did it and got paid, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got to get that monte.
I like money.
I don't, I'm not feeling like putting on a production tonight. It's been real rough. You know, I don't know. It's been better. It's gotten better, but it's just the lack of sleep and the weird hours is kind of catching up to me tonight. So, I don't feel like performing too much tonight, but, I do perform a podcast with, my podcasting partner in crime, Phoenix, and we do this thing called the Lotus Podcast. Maybe you've heard of it.
You may have heard of it.
Yeah, this week I got stuff going on. We're not streaming this week, but at least we'll have a new episode. That comes out on Saturday. So, there's that. In the bowl, y'all. Hope you're having a good time, good vibes, and such. In the bowl.
In the bowl, phone boy.
Oh, we love you, phone boy. You never have to perform here, man.
That's right.
Just kick back and relax.
Just be you. Take a load off, my man. You've earned it. Yeah, you can find Phoneboy in Phoenix at lotuspodcast.net, just in case you're wondering. Lion Eyes, great first performance. I always thought that was about Simba when I was little.
Oh, makes sense.
Can't hide the lion eyes, but... No, you can't hide this next caller, that's for sure.
I
first thing, I don't think I've ever really performed other than like when they used to make you get up on stage and sing with all your class.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you had the people that got picked to play the xylophones, and you basically hit the two notes, and they're like, ding, 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 and then...
ding, ding, yeah.
The drums, too. Somebody would play the drum. Basically, you'd just be like, dom, dom, dom.
Hey, percussion is difficult now.
For Christmas pageants or whatever.
Take
they
that
get
back.
Up thing. But I think that's probably the first time I've ever performed. I can't even remember what it was, if it was... probably a Christmas thing, because figuring out like the school year starts, basically that'd be the first kind of like assembly. I used to call them assemblies.
Whoa.
Assemblies. I called them assemblies back in my day too.
Then you did it. I think everybody did it again sometimes at night and all the parents would come. But yeah, that's the first time I've ever performed. I just turned off. I'm driving back from a meetup.
Oh, cool.
Very wonderful time. But right before I called you guys, E40, featuring T-Pain and Candy, whatever the hell her name is,
yeah,
was on, and they were breaking, shaking, moving, trying to get to you and that booty. Trying to get to you and that booty. Anyways, fun driving music.
Hell yeah.
In the bowl!
In the bowl.
In the bowl. Ned will be in the bowl Sunday, 8 p.m. Central, and we're so excited.
Yes, we are, and we just can't hide it. Just can't hide it. Just like we can't hide this next caller.
So, apparently the F-Tack of the TV is the first time I ever performed. So here's my story. Well, I was always in choir and blessing everyone with my beautiful voice, not trying to be arrogant, but as Kid Rock said, you know, it ain't bragging, motherfucker, if you back it up.
Ooh.
So I got the opportunity to do the lead solo in our Christmas cantata at church, and I delivered a heartfelt, tear-jerking rendition of O Holy Night that literally brought parishioners to tears, and it still remains one of my favorite Christmas songs to perform. And in recent times, I've actually come back to my love of and ability to perform. I'm sure, as you know, most of the bowlers have discovered, you know, Phoenix has quite the beautiful voice, both for podcasting and, as it were, for singing. So, in the bowl.
In the bowl.
Smoking if you got him, y'all.
Oh, you know we got him.
Mute. I Whoa. Love that. I love you, Phoenix. There. Yeah, I don't know. You tell me.
I'm sorry. I activated the deactivation fee. Sorry about that.
Yep. That's all right.
Sorry about that. Not as sorry as I am about this next caller, though.
It is currently 9:23 p.m. Central Time.
Oh, yeah.
I just finished two bowls of cereal in honor of one of those days. The first time I ever performed, it's definitely a toss-up. It's either when I outpaced all of those other little shithead spurs or when I played a pig in kindergarten play.
Oink, oink, motherfucker! In the bowl, boobery.
In the bowl.
Big bad boobery. All right, very nice. Very nice.
I don't know the song that I performed to first, but my first performance was definitely tap dance.
Tap dance. Tippity-tappity-clippity-clappity.
Mm-hmm. I just turned 3. They scooted me into dance classes when I was 2. And there I was, tapping away. Didn't have to look at the teacher off the side of the stage or nothing. Knew the whole routine.
Nice. Good work.
I was an A student. Always paid attention. Conscientious. And they put me in the front, and then the video is just like me doing this routine pretty much by myself, because it's a bunch of 3-year-olds, you know? So everyone's just like tarting around, and then this girl next to me is like looking, just staring at me. Like, she just stops dancing. She's just staring at me because she's doesn't know the moves, I guess, or got stage fright or something. It's pretty funny.
Wow.
It's cute.
You just overtook, man.
Yeah. The tap consumed me.
You know, Boobs mentioned the first time he ever performed was maybe when he was one of those little sperms that crossed the finish line, there was this ad that would always run in the swim catalogs for, like, I don't remember if it was for Speedo or some other, you know, swimming apparel company, you know. But it was like of like the little spermy dude microscope pictures that you always see. It's like, you know, science-y sperm. And it just said, like, you were born the fastest swimmer.
Nice. It's true.
Like an ad for swim gear every time. We just always, like, cracked up. Good doof it of it.
You won the race.
Yeah.
Each and every one of you.
Well, I was pretty young when my first performance, too. It was at this preschool program that I did when I was 4. And, like, at the end of it, it was like a week or 2 week program or something like that. Yeah. At the end of it, we were supposed to do this stupid fucking play about being a duck and, you know, little ducks go out to play over the hill and far away or whatever the hell, you know.
Quack, quack, motherfucker.
Yeah, mama duck says quack, quack, and a certain number of ducks keep coming back. It's like,
oh, cripes.
It's like if you could make the 99 bottles of beer on the wall, you take that same concept, but you make it more annoying.
Yeah.
And I had played with this little Kinex set, and I was making this windmill out of Kinex. And then because I made the windmill, I made up like this whole story about this old man, Mr. Gridley, and how it was his windmill. And then like the windmill broke, and then like he put it back together. So I just like wrote this book out about who owned the windmill.
Mr. Gridley.
And then I had this program called Kid Picks, which was like Photoshop for children, or like it was like MS Paint for children, really.
MS Paint so, wasn't for children?
Oh, no, no. I'm talking about extra child children. It was like, it was a beautiful program. It's like very cartoony and like you could, you know, color and erase and stuff. But Servo knows what I'm talking about. Kid Picks, dog. That was my shit. KIDPIX, Kid Picks. If you didn't Kid Picks, then I'm sorry about you.
I'm sorry about me, too.
It's too bad. But I did the illustrations for the book in Kid Picks. So then, like, my mom helped me print it out on printer paper. And then I stapled it, and I had a book. And so they let me read the book at this, you know, like, end salvo presentation thing that they do at the end of the program. I was up on stage reading my book. But
nice. And then they want you to...
But then they wanted me to be a duck in the thing, and I just had no interest in the duck thing. I don't know why it, like, spurged me out so hard. I was just like, grr! I ripped my duck foot, because they had these, like, big duck feet, like, out of construction paper that we tied around our ankles. We were supposed to have duck feet, you know, and, like, a duck bill or a duck hat thing on our head. I was just so not into it, and I ripped the duck foot. I was like, no. I'm not a duck. I am an author.
Nice. We need to get our hands on this book. I want to see the story of Mr. Gridley.
I don't know about the book. It's probably actually, you know, knowing the hoarding nature of my parental units, it is probably around.
I think so.
It's probably in some box somewhere.
The video definitely is. So.
Oh, man. Yeah.
The I video's can see around. You reading it.
The video's around.
Little Spenny.
I can see this next caller reading it.
Ooh. Okay. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Howdy.
In the bowl.
In the bowl.
Lauren and Spencer.
Yeah, in the bowl.
We're happy to be in the bowl with
In the
you,
bowl.
To you and your wolf pack.
Oh.
Because I think about your kiddos, you know, in a good way, not in a creepy way. Like, I think about you with the kiddos, and I think you have a couple of dogs, if I remember.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Or some cats.
Four
I know
cats.
You have at least one dog. So, but I think you have two.
No dogs. I mean,
so anyway,
cats.
I love to think about you,
yes,
you guys and your furry family and your human family, and then going out and homesteading or, you know, going out and getting off the grid. I cannot fucking wait until you're off the grid. Oh, it's a step in the right direction after all.
It is.
And I love
yeah.
thinking about it. Because I really want to join you at some point. Maybe help you grow some special plants, maybe.
Special!
Growing your own food, growing your own herbal medicine. Yeah, I can learn a lot from you guys. I'd really love to do that. So, blobbity blah, 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 blah. Nobody wants to hear Quirkus rant on. I don't care.
Well, that's not true.
I just love you too much to shut up. That's the thing. I actually love you both too much to just, like, give up and bow out and get away from the, you know, get away from the trouble that I'm apparently causing. So
you're such a big lump of trouble.
I love you too much to stay silent.
Quirk-ass.
And I really wish you the best of luck.
I'm
with
sick of all your
of,
trouble.
Not just luck, but success with all of the Bitcoin or, you know, crypto endeavors.
Thank
your
you.
Financial, like if it helps you financially free yourselves. Seems like it's doing that for a lot of people. I'm very skeptical. I'm very skeptical about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not the only one. Like,
oh, yeah.
Well,
lots
okay,
of people are
so
skeptical.
If you can, if you can have that to empower yourself or free yourself financially, I just feel like they would never allow that because of the way that they've rigged the system so that people are enslaved or they're limited, you know, they're bound, they're essentially bound and gagged too, you know. So I am naturally very suspicious and skeptical of it, but I do need to learn it. So thank you for encouraging me to learn it.
Of course.
I need to learn Bitcoin.
Just
God
learn
damn
it.
It.
It's not
I don't
tough.
Want to.
It just seems tough
to.
Before you do it. That's all.
I have to.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Seems
sorry.
It seems
I'm
tough if
stupid.
You haven't done it. You know?
So I love you guys. I'll call back. I'm going to have to call back with my little
you
story.
Better, you better have
short.
To call back.
Do I have enough?
Yeah, it's easy to be skeptical if you don't know anything about it. Dave kind of had a... put kind of beautifully on the last podcasting 2.0 because he talked about the same sort of thing, and there's this part eventually where all of us in like all of us who are using Bitcoin eventually hit this spot where it's like we don't fucking care anymore about arguing about it. Like it just doesn't even matter to us. It's like such a waste of time and thought energy to us that it's like I don't even try to counter people who doubt it anymore. Or I got wrapped up in that when I got back into Bitcoin, you know, of like, how am I going to convince these people? You know, it's like,
not your job.
It's not. Yeah. There's nothing I can do anyway. Like I've tried to figure out like words and arguments and stuff. I'm not good at that. I can make like poor analogies, right? Like get in the car and drive. That's as close as I've come. Right. And that's what I'm telling you to do is like get in the car and drive. And then you'll like, I feel like, driving around, eventually you'll see it. You know, you'll come to this realization. Because it's like, you know, of course they don't want the big capital, they don't want your financial independence, but that's the beauty about the Bitcoin system. Doesn't fucking matter what they want. You know, it has nothing to do with them. That's why we like it. And if you don't believe that, then our immediate, you know, reaction is, that's fine. Don't believe it. Just stick to Federal Reserve notes because there's definitely no manipulation and control in that, you know, just stick with the US dollar as your only form of money. And surely that will alleviate the objection you just brought up. Surely that's the better way between the two. You know, I mean, it's just kind of like, I mean, come on.
I mean, Kim.
What David said was it's just kind of like at a certain point you realize all of this doubt melts away because this is a viable move forward that isn't the exact same things we're worried about of like it isn't monetary control and that isn't all of these different traps that the Federal Reserve notes are. They're just worthless. They're printing them all the time, just throwing them all over the place. It's funny money now, you know? And when you're skeptical on Bitcoin, another beautiful thing, by the way, about Bitcoin is you can just buy a dollar. You could buy $5, you know?
Yeah.
If you can send somebody money in US dollars, you can also send them money in Bitcoin. So it's kind of like, it frustrates me on the other side because you get coiners who are like heavy maximalist Bitcoin heads. And they're just as frustrating to deal with sometimes. Actually, they're much more frustrating because you talk about someone who never used Bitcoin, then they just don't know. You know, they just don't know. For a seasoned Bitcoiner who's been doing it for a long time, they ought to know better than this type of mentality trap of like, I'm never going to budge or spend or touch or throw out my Bitcoins, you know? And I've met a lot of guys since talking about podcasting 2.0 around who are just like, well, no one's ever going to spend their Bitcoins. That's just stupid. I'm like, what? How is it stupid? You're telling me that I'm going to send this podcast. I already live value for value, so I'm going to send this podcast $20 on PayPal. But I can't send them $20 in sats, which is like, you know, 40,000 sats or something. I don't want to speak out of turn, but it's tens of thousands of sats, about $20. You can't do that. You're sending that out, and you can't just replace the sats. You just buy them back.
Right.
Know? Like, my balance at the end of the week is just less that $20. But then I was going to send it to them in USD anyway. It's not like I lost Bitcoin. And these guys, they have such a scarcity mentality of like, oh, I can't send Bitcoin. Like, you absolutely can.
That's exactly it. Scarcity mentality.
You absolutely can. If you're that worried about it, why don't you send the 20 and then buy 50, you know? And then you got more sats at the end of the week and you send some sats. And that's the part that's holding back adoption too from the other end. You know, Bitcoiners themselves are holding back adoption by refusing to use it as money, which it is. It is.
Most definitely.
Anyway, I mean, don't get me wrong, I was skeptical too, but it's just been too long, you know? If they could have killed this thing, it would have been dead 10 times over. It never works, that's the thing. They've tried to kill it a bunch of different times, and you can watch in real time what happens to Bitcoin when people try to kill it. It, like, grows, it strengthens itself. It's a living computer network now. It'd be like trying to kill the internet, only more difficult. Trying to kill Bitcoin would be more difficult than trying to kill the internet. But, yes.
Okay, here it is. Just my second. I promise you there will not be a number three. Okay, wait. Can you promise anything when you're really high?
You just promised, so yeah. I
know that, like, some people laugh at this, and I don't care. I think it's fun. You should, like, call in or text or email bowlafterbowl.com. Yeah, everything,
wow.
The art,
I am really
the
high.
Show is magnificent. The content, you know, the content, the consistent content from you guys. I don't really care if anybody thinks I'm being too mush pushy. I got to do it. I have to do it. I'm compelled to fucking do it. I don't care.
Who's going
to
stop
you know,
our cast
I've been told recently
it.
That several people in the community think I'm fucking crazy. And it's a really hurtful thing to hear, you know, it's super hurtful.
Yeah, people are going to think what
they think. It came from somebody I really love. And so I have to just go with my intuition and my heart. I have to do this. I have to do this. Please allow me. You're so kind.
You
know, you're really understanding,
how dare you,
warm-hearted, empathetic people. I feel you're both empaths, really, genuinely, that you can feel all of that energy from other people. I can tell you that I am, and I really don't care who thinks that that is something worthy of comical fodder or that it's delusional or crazy, because that's bullshit. If you're an empath, you know it. You can really absorb people's energy. You can get a lot from people's vibrational, you know, their output. Like, it's electrically, I think it's electrically originated. I think that's how it's born. Like electrically born within the body. You know what I mean?
I get it.
Does that really sound so far-fetched? Does that really sound too outlandish? I don't think so.
I
really don't feel that that's
get the straight
far-fetched.
Jacket ready for Quirk-ass.
Everything has a vibrational frequency, apparently even inanimate objects, you know, electronic objects. So we can pick all that up. We're conduits. We're detectors.
Yes.
We're lit. You know, we're lit.
Yeah.
We're receptors that are lit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're antenna. I think it's antennae, plural. We are for all the types of energy. Harry. Yeah. I'll tell you next week, first time I ever performed.
Whoa!
Good night.
Have cliffhanger. Good night. Thank you, Quirk-ass.
Yeah, we love you, Quirk-ass.
Quirk-ass.
Who isn't crazy in this community?
Well, yeah.
Who isn't crazy in this world?
You know, if,
everyone's their own special type of crazy.
Yeah, please. Please, come on. We're all crazy. Look, if I put too much stock in, like, what people think of my dumb ass, really? Come on. I would have, like, deleted my No Agenda Social fucking years ago. Come on. We're all tards here. Like, just fucking,
right.
You know, just regular ass people.
But also just know that for every person that's thinking poorly of you or whatever, judging you, there's people that just love and adore you very openly and think you're great.
Yeah, and you shouldn't get, by the way, by the way, you shouldn't get too trapped up in either.
Exactly. You know? Yes.
Like, you shouldn't depend upon the one, and you shouldn't be crushed by the other, man. Like, these things are going to be out there. You got to navigate. And the empath, you know, I can tap into, like, empathy very much so. Very deeply. Very strongly. Like, you know, I don't even want to get into it now. Because you got me ranting on Bitcoin already. You trapped me. So I'm not doing it again. But what I am going to say is, like, we got a volume knob on that shit, man. Because you can't just have it at 11 all your life, all the time, 24-7. You can't. You can't. It will fucking kill you. You cannot. So find the volume knob on the empathy is my advice. And manipulate it, you know, when it's too loud, turn it down. When it's too quiet, turn it up. And you'll find your groove, man. But you can't get all wrapped up in, like, what other weirdos think of you, a weirdo. Come on. We're all fucking weirdos here. Give me a break.
Yeah, life's too short to be boring and normal.
This is what my next caller says.
No need for weed.
Yes! Thank you! Thank you!
Woo!
That was... Okay, so the no need for weed, I don't even know if we brought it up when we talked about boobs' pics, but the no need for weed is what first caught his eye. And what he texted me about, he was like, dude, there's a sign at this school that says no need for weed. And I was like, you gotta put an S on that sign and change it to no sneed for weed.
No sneed for weed.
Yeah, no sneed for weed.
That's right.
Don't you forget it! Don't you forget it, dude. We could never forget this next caller.
Bowlers!
Hey-o!
First time I ever performed, like, in public. Oh, hold on, man. Bluetooth headset. Shit. If it's noisy, I'm sorry. You can fuck me in the ass later or something.
Put it on my to-do list.
First time I ever performed. I remember in kindergarten, I was trying to impress this girl. She was swinging beside me on the swing set, and I thought it would be super impressive to sing a New Kids on the Block song.
Oh, shit.
To her. She didn't leave, so there's that. I remember that much. It's kindergarten. And then later that year, same girl I was trying to impress with my amazing skills and the monkey bars and the jungle gym. And I tried getting down to the ground, like, real fast. And I slipped and, like, fell through the, you know, iron bars that made all these squares and shit. Hit my nose on one of the bars and broke it. But then, like, a actual performance, I don't know, we did dumb, annoying shit in elementary school. Like, I was in a play about fucking Christopher Columbus. And I still remember, like, the 1492 Columbus cap melody line shit. Hated it. So I guess the kindergarten thing, singing to a chick on the playground, does that count? That was the first time.
Definitely.
Other than being the fastest swimmer, of course. Ow!
Stuck!
Stuck.
No, it was more. Stuck! Yeah. I never learned the Christopher Columbus song.
Me neither.
But I did learn, somebody touching my spaghetti!
Somebody indeed.
Yeah. I can't do. I can't do. And you know what I can't do without is another metal moment.
Oh, hell yeah.
Y'all thought I forgot, didn't you?
Cyber Trucker.
I made a little programming switch. Y'all thought I forgot. No way. No way. Of course, I have to reroute again. Because why wouldn't you?
In the bowl and in the morning, this here is the Reverend Cyber Trucker and Kenny with this week's metal moment. First appearing in 1988's Final Fantasy II, the Chocobo has probably become Final Fantasy's most recognizable icon, and probably just as memorable would be the Chocobo theme song. And YouTuber Family Jewels has given us his particular take on the Chocobo theme song.
All right.
Don't stop. It was so good.
Lit chocobo metal.
I love it.
Love it, love it, love it. Yeah, well, love and metal are both lit now.
That's right.
It leaves us one more option, man.
Ah, fuck it, dude. Let's go bowling.
Let's go bowling. So, a couple bought a building in Okanogan, if I'm saying that right. It's 4 hours east of Seattle. It was built in 1907. Used to be a movie theater, a pool hall. Hell, a cockfighting rink, even. They wanted to turn it into a bar, so they started renovations. And then they found hidden murals, 115 years old, under the walls. Plus, wow. The Historical Society sent them a newspaper clipping from 1915 when the murals were installed, and it talked about the local artist who painted them. It's a panoramic scene. So, unfortunately, it was pretty badly water damaged, but they're taking it down, refurbishing it, and hanging it back up, and they're going to make it the centerpiece of their bar when they
nice.
Open.
Nice. That's perfect.
Okanogan. Billy Bones is trying to help me out in the chat. Okanogan.
Okanogan. Okanogan.
Well, here in the show me state, you know, sometimes you just got to show them.
That's right.
Or at least try. And this dude, an actual Chad, is now facing multiple charges because he decided maybe he could impersonate a cop and get his buddy out of jail.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
I bet not.
He showed up at the jail Sallyport, claiming to be an officer, saying I need to pick up this inmate by the name of this and that, and I'm just going to transfer him. So the officers there were like, oh, sure, sure, let him in, shut the door behind him, and promptly arrested his ass.
Womp, womp.
Yeah, he's being charged with false impersonation and being held on a $10,000 cash-only bond.
So is it better if you can, like, pull it off? Like, true impersonation makes it legal? But if it's false impersonation, like,
Yeah, true impersonation is fine. Clearly, it's written in the law books.
I'm just trying to understand the law.
It says false impersonation.
Yeah, that
doesn't
implies.
Say nothing about true impersonation here.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes nothing but sense.
Should have had a better wig.
Yeah, or maybe a shinier badge or something.
Or a bigger belly.
I mean, they don't have a picture of his cosplay, his cop cosplay, so I was like, I can't tell you if it was
some fucking terrible shit from, like...
He just rolled up wearing jeans and a t-shirt, maybe.
From Spirit Halloween. he's got like a bad mustache that's only half taped on or something.
Yeah, he's got that, like, female body inspector badge, you know? Just tries to whip it real fast, but they all know. They all see that plastic.
It's going to be tough to get your buddy out. But at least they can hang out now together.
Yeah, maybe. The officers who arrested him said they don't believe his friend was aware of the attempt made to get him out.
Lucky for him.
That would be a bummer. Ugh. Dude, why didn't you do what I told you? I told you exactly how these guys talk, how they walk,
everybody
how
knows.
To do it.
You send in a cake and you put a file in the cake. That's how you get your buddy out of prison. Everybody knows this.
Oh, yeah. I thought that you could also just knock the wall down. You know, like the wall would just, like, come down with a few ropes, like, and maybe a horse.
Sticks of dynamite or maybe a ramming vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah, you just ram the wall down.
Yeah. It's another way to do it. I prefer the classic tried and true, bake a file into a cake.
And just gotta bake your head into that cake.
Yeah, that's what I usually do.
I'm being baked. I'm being baked like a cake.
That's the file talking. Clearly.
Clearly. Well, Studio Ghibli's theme park is opening up November 1st of this year.
Oh. I like the sound of that.
So many lame-os talk about the Emperor Mouse's establishments. Yeah, I want to go there. I missed out on going there as a kid. Fuck that. You want to go to the Studio Ghibli theme park. You know it. I know it. We all know it.
No doubt.
They announced this theme park in 2017, and then crickets. But here we are, 494 acres of parkland in the Aichi Prefecture. And they're going to have five different lands based on five different movies. And they're going to stagger the openings of them. So the first one that's opening this year is Totoro.
Yeah, you got to start with Totoro.
Good start, for sure. And then next year, they're talking about Princess Mononoke, Kiki's Delivery Service, and Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, man. Mononoke and Howl's, those are like, those compete for my favorites. But I think Mononoke edges it out.
Oh, yeah, I love Mononoke for sure.
Because wolves are the trump card. I mean, obviously.
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 But of course, I'm reading this and I'm just like, but can they not do Spirited Away because of the joint venture with the Mouse King?
Hell if I know.
I don't know either, but I was kind of surprised
that obvious one, yeah.
That was, yeah, because they're at an abandoned theme park.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of potential there.
Oh my god.
Maybe that's the secret. Once they get all the worlds in, then like the last hour that the park's open, it's like all the shit shuts off and it's Spirited Away.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, would that be cool?
Wow, that was, yeah. That would be very cool. I like that.
That's what I would do if I was them. But I'm not.
It's the inevitable future, you know, when something happens and Mother Nature takes over again.
Yes.
That's what they're setting up for. But I love the concept of this park. It's not going to be like roller coaster thrill rides. It's really more of immersing yourself in appreciating the nature, the land where it's being placed. I think that's so cool because that's just such a huge theme in Miyazaki's works and Studio Ghibli's works.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited. Now I just need to find someone who can, you know, fly a plane and take me there.
Let's go in a sailboat.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Why don't we go in a sailboat?
That's a much better idea.
Because, yeah, like you said,
I'm not stepping on a commercial airline.
Fuck flying commercial. I would be perfectly happy to never fly commercial as long as I live.
Yeah.
Anymore, never again. I would love that. If I can pull that off, I'll be happy.
Yeah, me too. Well, some ice formations happened this week in Canada, as one might expect.
Oh yeah.
Outside of a man's lakefront home, and they look like some otherworldly spirits, not gonna lie. Very cool. I am posting the link with pictures in the chat now.
That was the sound of the pictures hitting the chat.
The easiest way to describe them is one kind of looks like a wraith or the green reaper, yeah. The grim reaper.
The green raper.
What the fuck?
And the other...
Everybody be on the lookout for the green raper. You don't want him coming around.
Also known as mooches, okay? The person that comes into the bowl, smokes all the bowls, and just leaves them cashed and sitting there and leaves. You're like, what just happened? It was the Green Reaper.
These people are sick.
Yeah, one looks like a spooky.
Oh, Jesus.
Spookerton. It's tall and long, kind of looks like it's wearing a cloak.
I don't like that one
and
little bit, dude.
The other one looks kind of like a dejected... sea hag or something?
Yeah.
Looks like they're like screaming sadness. Isn't that crazy?
That's a little bit weird, dude.
To make it a little bit weirder, the man who owns this home said that his daughter freaked out and said those look exactly like two spirits who have been haunting her dreams recently.
Yeah, there's something going on there, bro.
Oh, well, you know, this can be very logically explained, wouldn't you know? Deboomed.
Oh, sure, of course,
just,
yeah,
you know,
that's fine.
The frigid waves of Lake Erie just crashed in and froze immediately around these lampposts that are there. That's it. They just froze around the lampposts. That's all it is, just frozen lampposts, you know?
It's not so much of, like, that the lampposts froze. It's much more about how the lamppost froze.
Precisely.
And all you got to do is take a fucking look at it. Oh, my God.
Yes. This will, of course, be in the show notes for those who aren't listening live, listening in the future and such.
Well, there goes your sleep, dude. Sorry about that, bowlers.
Exactly. Yeah.
Holy moly. Powerful.
Seriously. Yeah, I saw it and it immediately went on the lanes for this week.
Good
Another
work.
Story that was just, I knew I had to talk about it here on the lanes, is a German gamer who broke his neck wearing a VR headset.
Oh, gee whiz.
Yeah. 31 years old. Doctors say repetitive movements led to his neck being damaged before the bone finally cracked.
Ow.
He went to the hospital with some piercing pain in his shoulders, and x-rays revealed that he fractured his C7 neck vertebra, which sits at like the base of the neck above the shoulders.
What's he like, whipping around his head, playing Mario Tennis, like, as the racket?
Perhaps. Just repetitive movements eventually led to this. I'm also wondering, like, how heavy the headset is and how often he's playing. You know?
He can't like, be looking around like a spaz the whole time, you know what I mean? Like, you still have to use your head like you would use your head in real life. Like,
were you goofing?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this is the world's first documented virtual reality related stress fracture.
Well,
so at least he's got that under his belt, you know?
That can only mean more to come.
Yes.
Remember iPod finger? How that was a thing?
No, but enlighten me.
It was like a specific repetitive motion injury that started happening during the click wheeled iPods. Where people would be thumbing that click wheel just constantly.
Look at us now, double thumbing smartphones all the time, every day.
Yeah. It's a little better, though. It's better when you're having more range of motion, basically. Like, the fact that the iPod was just on that click wheel, and you were just doing that exact motion with your thumb, versus now, on the phones, you're kind of swiping. It's a much safer.
Okay.
Now, that's not to say you can't get RMI from using phones. People do it all the time, and carpal tunnel and other heinous shit. But iPod finger was a real thing. Yeah, there you go. Billy Bones hit you with a link in the chat. Yeah.
Yeah, well, watch your neck. Watch your vertebrae.
Watch your neck. You can't be whipping it around, whether it's virtual or actual reality.
It's true. And speaking of actual reality, sometimes we run into fake things, like fake poop, which is being used to help owls who have lost their homes to houses being built settle into new neighborhoods.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fake poop. Do it for the owls.
Yeah. The burrowing owls. They're losing their ground in Silicon Valley and Southern California. So biologists are trying to move them to protected grasslands. But they had a really hard time getting the owls to accept their new homes and actually move in. I guess that burrowing owls like to live near other owls in a neighborhood.
Huh.
So they had to make it seem like owls were already there by playing recorded owl calls before and after the new arrivals showed up so that they could just keep dispatching them in. They have 4 different locations. And then the fake poop part. They used a syringe to squirt white paint around to look like fake owl poop. And I guess it worked. That was the icing on top when the owls just all started settling in.
Can you imagine the owls flying in like, oh, this looks like a shitty neighborhood. Let's move in here.
Yeah. Would you look at that shit? Would you just look at it? They specifically got the Shit Maps app to move to that neighborhood.
They're like, here's a hotspot on the shit map. Must be owls there.
Yeah, they said, must be fucking nice. Grass is always shittier on the other side. Wait a minute, I could just move. Yeah, I'll just fly over there. Burrow.
Oh, those crazy burrow owls. Always flipping the script on us.
You got to. You got to flip that script. You go, owls. Well, there's another script flip coming. The oldest living aquarium fish is named Methuselah, but it might actually be a girl.
That's a very modern and progressive fish, man.
They're not sure about the gender, and the surefire way to find out would be a blood test, but they think it's kind of risky. Considering the fish's age, 90 years old.
Super old fish.
Yeah, I mean, not 969 years old, like Noah's grandpa, you know, but 90 is a good life for a fish. This fish is an Australian lungfish, weighing in at 40 pounds, 4 feet long, now living in San Francisco, brought there in 1938.
Well, no wonder they can't tell what gender it is now. That's your problem right there.
Right there.
So living in San Francisco. Did I lose you?
Oh, you did.
Oh, my goodness.
But I see the light now.
There it is.
I see the lighter. There it is. Yeah, they think that the lungfish might be the evolutionary link between fish and amphibians. Because, as the name implies, they have gills and lungs.
Dang.
Yeah. The caretaker? The lady that looks after this fish.
The caretaker?
Caretaker, yes. That's the word I wanted. And then it was just poof, up in smoke.
There it was.
The caretaker says that this fish likes belly rubs and eating fresh figs.
Oh.
It's like an underwater dog.
Adorable fish.
Pretty cool. So yeah, they got two other lungfish that are younger and don't have a cool name like Methuselah. Their names are medium and small.
Lungs on a fish?
Just what? Named after their size. So yeah, unfortunately the lungfish are a threatened species and will not be exported from Australian waters ever again. Unless they can make more babies.
Yeah.
In Pasco County, Florida, the sheriff's department had to turn off public comments on its social media because too many people were reporting crimes and submitting tips there instead of calling their non-emergency line or 911 in the case of emergencies or submitting tips through a website, their website. Part of the problem is this is one of the departments that was featured on Live PD.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, they have like 333,000 likes or something.
Yeah, I think they have like so many subscribers too.
He has, I think, 69 million subscribers.
Yeah, 69 million. Fact check, likely true.
Likely.
But yeah, and of course, this department, they have a 3-person public information team. No way to go through hundreds of thousands of comments. And then people get mad because it's like, hey, you didn't show up at my house. I was just robbed. I told you on your Instagram photo.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, seriously. They,
come on, people.
Yeah, can't social media comment your emergencies.
I said on the gram, y'all, that I got robbed.
Yeah. Well, there were complaints about this, of course. Some users said that they're not comfortable using other formats to send in tips and report emergencies,
oh,
I suppose.
Yeah.
And others said it discourages people from sharing information.
Oh, bullshit.
I know. So
you're not comfortable
stupid.
With calling the cops, then you're not comfortable with the cops coming to save your dumb ass.
I'm not comfortable because it's not on Instagram.
Around these parts, we don't call 911. We don't comment on cops' face bag pages. We don't give likes to their grams.
That's just so goofy. Well, they might not feel comfortable. I'm sorry. Once you are a grown-ass adult, you use a phone for anything that's serious that you need.
Yeah.
Oh, is that serious?
You need
the phone.
Yeah, you might actually have to pick up a pencil and fill out a report sometime, too. You know, you might have to write some things in their station.
God forbid.
Well, this was kind of a neat story also coming out of Florida this week. A man took his grandson fishing and reeled in more than fish.
Oh?
They were magnet fishing, and they found 2 sniper rifles.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Double prizes.
Seriously, they dropped a 5-pound magnet in the C-102 canal in southern Miami-Dade County, ended up finding 2 pounds of scrap metal and 40 pounds of guns. Yep. 2 50 caliber Barrett sniper rifles wrapped in plastic. With
nice.
The serial numbers filed off.
Oh, double bonus. Awesome.
They're on their way to the forensics labs.
I bet they are.
Of course, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Finders, give it to daddy government.
I've always wanted to do one of them magnet fishing expeditions, man. That seems fun.
It sure does. Might find treasure down there. You never know. You never know what you're going to find.
There's sniper rifles in them there hills.
You also might find when you get home that someone's been eating your food and drinking your beers and they weren't invited. Oh, that was at least the case for some homeowners in New Mexico who were surprised to find a man in their house with an AR-15.
Oh, shit. Was it Alex Jones being like, I will eat your ass.
The name was not disclosed of this man, but he had slept, bathed, dined, and drank beers at their house before they got back from wherever they were. And although he had the AR-15, he didn't threaten them, and he didn't take any of their belongings. He actually gave them $200 as a reimbursement fee because, well, he broke the window to get in.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he was described as a 6-foot-tall man in his late 20s who shared his story with the owners, saying he was running from someone and that his whole family had been killed in East Texas.
Holy shit.
Yeah, said his car broke down outside of Santa Fe, so he was on foot. And despite all that, they still didn't catch him.
No, you can't catch a true badass like that, bro.
No, you just can't catch him.
Can't catch him. You know, the text line tells us that they played California in a school play about states. Wah, wah.
Wah, wah. Oh.
Thanks, text line. That was the first time a text line performed.
We have to think of a first time I ever for next week.
That's true. I thought of one at the optometrist, which was like, because we were talking about it the first time we ever saw through glasses, but we already did that one. It came to me.
Ah, yes.
Remember?
And you could say the first time I ever went to the optometrist's office,
well,
though.
There's the first time I ever had a sign from the afterlife. We've got first time I ever got drunk. First time I ever fucked with a Ouija board. Found a dead animal.
You know, those icicle figures that formed seemed kind of like a sign from some other place, maybe the afterlife.
Sure.
So I say we go with that one.
All right, first time I ever had a sign from the afterlife. That'll be next time's F-tie. And hey, thanks for hanging out tonight. Magical show, 133. Lots of energy in the air. Lots of this, lots of that. Spirits in the machines. Coming in, coming out. But we love you so much for hanging out, rolling with it. Just like we do. Every Tuesday night, right after DH Unplugged at 9 p.m. Central. Join us on Sunday for Net Ned, Bowls with Buds. You're going to want it. You're going to have it.
8 p.m. Central.
That's right. And until then, I'll have to see you next time. I'm Sir Spencer Wolf of Kansas City.
I've been Dame DeLorean. May your bowls burn ever brighter.
That's why his body fell apart.
What?
What?
Value.
Send your dick pics.
They really got the Sphinx tribe rocking.
Anyone else hard?
It's so overtly sexual.
Lorian and Spencer.